Welcome to the Draw.Good Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking everything AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft. The bye rounds are finally done. Welcome back to all those drafters who've been in hibernation for the last 3 weeks, and well done to those who have pushed through. On the show this week, we'll look at all the things we noticed from round 14 from a fantasy perspective. Then we'll do some waiver wire pickups, our trade of the week, and a captain risky option before finishing off with a bunch of listener questions. I'm Doss, and on the show this week, it's Stevie Fizz and Jono Crockett. G'day, Stevie Fizz. What's going on?
No, not much. Just freezing my ass off in Ararat. Like everyone else, I guess it's cold everywhere, so there's not really anything to be worried about. But I've reached peak dad. I bought a pair of New Balance sneakers on the weekend. And there's no more peak dad move than cracking out your first pair of New Balance shoes.
The comfort, though, amazing, right, Steve?
Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah, amazing. Like, I put them on just like a dream, so this is great.
Comfort over fashion, it's the way to go. We've also got Jono. What's going on, Jono?
Well, as you said, it is cold everywhere, so that means winter. Out comes the slow cooker, so nice beef ragu cooked up today. So, slow cooker for the rest of winter.
There is only one
slow cooker. Got a Massaman today.
A what?
A Massaman curry.
Oh, nice.
You wouldn't eat it, Doss, because it's beef.
Yeah.
No Go beef. Eat your lentils. Veggie.
Tofu.
Maybe I will. I can't believe Jono's wearing a t-shirt. I mean, I get aircon, but come on, Jono. T-shirt, it's fucking freezing.
I have ducted heating my house. It is a balmy 18 degrees. I'm not like you wearing hoodie, gloves, and four jumpers.
Let's get on to our round 14 review, discussing all the things we noticed from a fantasy perspective this weekend, starting with the Weagles-Essendon game, Steve.
Yeah, it was an interesting game to start things off. One question we've had a little bit come up is, will David Zaharakis get defender status? And that was something I talked about in the preseason. I got laughed off the show by the Statesman, but I think there's a chance. He's certainly spending a lot of time behind the ball. And he did line up in defense on occasion. He has been lining up on the wing mostly. Well, it's kind of hard to tell that. Obviously, the defense and the wing, the close wing, are out of the TV. So you're not 100% where the starting positions are. You got some idea. But I think there's a case to be made. So it's definitely a watch this space on the David Zaharakis getting the D. West Coast Eagles might have some pretty good pickups in terms of trade targets. Like, aside from Collingwood and Richmond, their back half of the year is full of juicy matchups, and they're starting to look like they're hitting their straps. I mean, they've been winning ugly when they've had to, but they've certainly got a good run home. And I mean, even the Richmond matchup, they haven't been too bad for Oppo mids, so I don't mind that. On the Essendon side, Heppel and Parrish took less CBAs, obviously with Dylan Scheel back in, and the emergence of Clark as a tagger is sucking up a couple of those roles. Both still scored okay, but something to keep an eye on. I think Parrish is really starting to find his way this year, and Heppel's pretty good on the outside. He won a lot of contested ball as well, so very interesting. And Mark Hutchings did a bit of a forward tag job on Adam Saad, so pretty interesting there.
With the tag role for Dylan Clark, so I did a few CBAs and we'll mention them again in this episode because we have been tracking them a little bit lately. But we've seen Clark be the leader for CBAs for the midfielder. Obviously, you've got the ruckman that usually leads the way, but Dylan Clark has been leading the CBAs because of that tagging role. And we saw him not have that great an impact in the midfield in this game, not getting the disposals. I think we heard Woosha say after the game as well, you know, he wasn't at his best. Do you think that's sort of a risky thing and potentially something that could boost other midfielders in Essendon other than Clark?
Oh, I don't know that it boosts the other midfielders, but it's certainly going to be something to monitor depending on the format of the game you're playing. Like, if there's, like, there should be more, you know, he'll be taking contested ball, so it should open up a little bit of uncontested ball. So maybe the wingers who are adept at finding the ball, like Dyson Heppel, shouldn't really be affected. He's pretty good in either role. But it's just something to look at. And, you know, of course, if your taggers have defensive or forward status, they're always interesting as well because they're just around the ball so much. But it's one of those ones where even if they bob up and happen to have a 90 game, because it could happen, they might, you know, lay 10 tackles sort of thing. Just not to be enamored with those numbers.
We saw the emergence of a man who dropped 91 AFL fantasy points, Steve, and how good was he for the Essendon Bombers?
How good was he for the Essendon Bombers? You just look at his Supercoach score. That's how good he was for the Essendon Bombers.
No, we look at his fantasy score, Steve. That's what we do.
Yeah. Supercoach is a fantasy score.
Yeah. I don't know, mate. I know it's a nice score, but look at the attention Saad got. Like, they had to give it to someone sort of thing to run it out, and we all know Andrew McGrath can't find the ball, so someone had to get it.
God damn, that is actually a very good point. Well, like, I hate when you go, like, because that has been the problem this year. Every time they're bringing it out of defense, there's just those other three quick guys that they use. They get it through the big hands and then into the McKennas and into the Sards to run it out there. It's a great point. When they're getting looked after, then he is the one to go to.
Yeah, and that's sort of probably my beef with Essendon defenders is they just run, so it's handball receives, it's not kick mark, so their scores are pretty bad, and I find streaming Essendon defenders really challenging. I think Saad's had pretty good Supercoach season, but like even Redmond's like three contested possessions like out of 22, like I know that's not what they're there to do, but to me, if you're going to be a fantasy scorer consistently, you're either going to need to take like 6-7 marks or find a little bit more of the harder ball. It's just I don't know, man. I'll just put it at that.
Yeah,
I think it's a bad system to be in as a defender.
For sure. We just quickly mentioned Jared Cameron with the nicest debut possible with a 69 AFL Fantasy and a 69 Supercoach. Very nice. On to Sydney Hawthorn, Jono.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an interesting week for the Swans with Callum Sinclair basically almost ripping his own head off, going for the ball and went off with a concussion. He doesn't come up. There was no Naismith in the kneeful, and their other ruckman, Cameron Darcy, he didn't play either, so I've got no idea who the hell they're going to play. So it could be a Sam Reid job, leaving that forward line open to Nick Blakely, so wait and see there. To see who you can pick up. Obviously, Buddy going down with a hammy as well. The Swans won it with
They did trial a Lear in the ruck in the preseason, if you remember.
Do you think they could go that way?
That's
a possibility. I was going through the list today, and I just couldn't work out who the backup ruckman would be.
Doing the CBAs, he actually took the final three. I think they trialed Reid once, and then they stuck with Alier for the final three, I believe, after that. They also drafted a ruckman in the mid-season draft, my boy, who was actually legitimately picking fruit with me in about February. So genuinely, my boy, Mickey Knoll. So Michael Knoll could potentially get a call up as well, and he's what I like to call a Steph Martin light. So watch out for him.
Steph Martin, yeah, you had it first. Michael Knoll to get a gig for the Swans this week. But it was the Swans that won it with the uncontested footy. They were beating Hawthorn at their own game, and it seems the Swans have moved on from that slow midfield type, slow ball movement to kick mark, uncontested fast footy, which is really good to see, but it does lessen a lot of those stoppages that they really like to get the tackles and build up. I mean, Luke Parker had 12 tackles, and the next closest for Sydney was your boy Clark with seven. So not getting as many tackles, not getting as many stoppages there. So they're looking to move the ball, get high possession there uncontestedly for the Swans to build their scores. So some, I feel like if you're a JPK owner, you might not expect those big scores that we're used to previously. And also Ollie Florent, I think we flagged him the last couple of weeks. Zero CBAs, and this guy here picked him up in a Supercoach matchup for only 24 points, and it was horrible to watch. He did not get one CBA. He was on the so far outside, it wasn't funny. So I think with JPK, they had Dawson running through there. It just threw him right out of that midfield there as well. And again, Clarko, he's gone back in with James Sicily in the forward line for three quarters this week, where he did a sweet fuck all and decided to move him down back just for the last quarter, where he did gather some ball and give us a reasonable score, but nothing what we've been expecting throughout the previous 12 rounds.
Is that a concern going forward? We can see a lot of people on the Twitter sphere are pretty worried about it. Do you find that as something that you're worried about going forward, the role change? And what if it happened during a fantasy final? That could be carnage.
Well, Clarko actually said in his press conference that they've tried it. It hasn't worked, so they're going to look to reassess next week. So that sounds like he's back in defense to me.
All right, that's pretty good signs, man. Ricky Goedison continuing his awesome form as well and getting some CBAs as well this week.
Yeah, I thought a tag would have come his way, but nope, still doing whatever the hell he likes and still putting the tag on O'Meara. So you'd think it would come at some stage, but highly unlikely. Maybe this week with the Hawks playing West Coast Eagles.
Pretty positive signs from someone we have mentioned a few times. I will say Ryan Clark, 93 fantasy, 86 super coach. But I was just sort of pleased to see that he maintained his nice time on ground, 91% time on ground with the return of JPK in the side. And he's now got a sort of nice wing role. Did he do a defensive job in this one as well there, Jono?
Started off on O'Meara probably for the first half and then, yeah, as you said, went to the wing and played his own game, and that also let O'Meara off the chain and build his score as well. So a bit of a balance there. So they might be transitioning him to that wing role and then chuck him in as a tagger if need be. So it's a watch as well for Clark because it is the statesman boy and knows he can score. So wait and see there for Ryan Clark.
Starting to see one thing as well with, I think, is Blake Hardwick gradually becoming a guy that could be a future fantasy scorer? We've seen the Hawks kind of rely on him in the back line a few times to bring the ball out. Now, it wasn't a huge game from him from a fantasy perspective. He put up 76 super coach, but could you see a little bit of fantasy potential in the future for Blake Hardwick?
Only in matchups, and also with Ben Stratton out, probably gave him a little bit of a bump, but I've only used Hardwicks for one-on-one matchups in particular games, and that's all I'd be using him for, really.
Yeah, all right, on to Melbourne Freo, Steve.
Yeah, so massive game from Brandon Matera. I thought he looked amazing, probably was involved in one of the better goals of the year. Carlton on deck next week. I'm pretty tempted to have a nibble. He's had some pretty, you know, usable games in the 70s, but I thought he was fantastic, adding a lot of pressure to that forward line. Freo, I think the injuries probably hurt him early on to Hogan. They really didn't have a target inside forward. And so we've heard that Rory Lobb's coming back in about a month. I'm really cagey as to what role Rory Lobb's going to have. I don't think he'll be the ruckman that we've seen over the first half of the season. I reckon he'll come back in. We know Sandy's about a month away. Sean Darcy's back. I got a feeling they're going to play Lobb as a forward. So I'm pretty cagey about that. And also Stephen Hill got injured reasonably early in the match as well. And it really forced guys like... I know there was a bit of talk on Twitter about Connor Blakely playing some midfield time. I think he just took a few CBAs just because the rotations were down. Like, their guys were just absolutely gassed. Like, their runners, Hill, Walters, absolutely out on their feet. So I wouldn't take too much stock on the Blakely midfield thing. Tom McDonald, get your vomit bags out, people. He looked amazing. just clunking everything in sight, giving a bit of lip to the umpires, if you don't mind. He had a massive score. And look, after Brisbane, he has got Carlton and the Western Bulldogs. You could do a lot worse. I'm just saying, maybe we've all dropped him multiple times over this year. Maybe it's starting to click. Maybe it's a confidence thing and it's all starting to come. And what have I got? Oh, Nathan Jones did spend a little bit of time behind the ball again.
With Angus Brayshaw, I had a few... Because I have footy and I didn't get to watch this game, but I had a few messages after the game saying, oh, how good Angus Brayshaw is going at earlier in the game. And it seems like his score in the end wasn't really that impressive. I was expecting to see some big numbers, and it was 87 fantasy. 101 super coach is pretty solid. But I see he's only had the 71% time on ground in this. Was that just rotations? Like, what's going on? How did he look in this one?
He looked great. Like, I know this fantasy score wasn't massive, but he was really... I thought he moved really well. Like, he was getting through, you know, tacklers and and ducking and weaving and using the ball pretty well. I thought he looked good at the very least. So if you've traded for him really low over the last month or two, I'd take some stock in that. I think he looked pretty good.
Also, so have you, I don't know if we've done the CBAs for this one yet, but he was inside mid again, roughly, just having a look?
Haven't done him, but yes.
Yeah. And we've seen Griffin Logue put up a couple of good performances. Did you see him as someone that looks exciting going forward?
Oh, maybe not exciting, but he was okay. Like, the Supercoach score was good, but he had 17 touches. It wasn't like he was... You know, now he doesn't have that hair anymore, so it's kind of like, is that Griffin Logue? Oh, that's pretty easy to tell him opposite, Bross, Luke Ryan. That is just a shocking lid.
I want to ask you as well, and I don't want to say that I'm concerned because, like, if I owned him, I'd be very happy holding and just seeing where it goes. But with Connor Blakely, do you see improvement coming relatively soon? I mean, he had a massive injury layoff, so let's not jump to conclusions here, but is this what he's going to be like this year, like a 80 max guy, or do you think he'll get to that 100 plus? It's all to do
I don't think he will. They show that I don't want him to be that. I don't think he will. I've got him in our home league, and I sort of like, there was always the temptation because, they looked a little bit thin in the midfield. I don't think they want to do that, so I think he's a D3 essentially, at best.
Yeah. The thing is, you probably couldn't really sell him for value as well at the moment. The best time to sell him almost now would have been before he came back.
Well, I think that's often the best time to sell someone, but he had a couple of good scores first. He had good matchups. Like, we saw Collingwood, it's a good defender matchup. Like, maybe look for one of those matchups. Or maybe, look, people might have seen him go into the midfield. Like we saw on Twitter, people thought, oh, he's playing midfield. And I don't think it was that at all. Like, yes, he was in there, but he went back straight away sort of thing. So maybe people go, oh, he's in the midfield. Maybe you've got a keen buyer in your league. Or maybe you wait till he has a good defensive matchup and pumps out a good score and does that. I don't know what you do unless you want to package him up.
Yeah, but your gut is saying...
I think you're better off just holding him, because if you drafted him and held him, you drafted him late, you've held him half the season, he's not really... Like, I know it wasn't a crappy score on the weekend, but everyone does that. Like, it's not, it's not the end of the world if you just have him as a D3, D4.
Yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing at all. But I'm thinking keep the faith as well. I'm just wondering your thoughts because, it is concerning. Everyone was pretty high on him, so... to be still putting up some pretty garbage scores after a few weeks, you'd hope he would have put up some nice numbers. All right, we will get on to Saints Brisbane Jono.
Yeah, it was a good game up until quarter time, and it was all one-way traffic after that. A lot of people are going to be asking about Dan Hand. I know we have a few questions later on. He was pretty good. Pretty good. Started off a little bit slow in the first quarter, but built into the game. Had a nice time on ground there, 69% for a score of 103 in fantasy and 96 Supercoach. He was playing a little bit behind the ball. Was taking CBAs, but was sort of sitting in behind the ball. But I suppose that's because the ball was getting pumped inside Brisbane's forward line ad nauseum. So, one to watch. I did see a little bit of chatter on Twitter who took the hit the most. At the start, I thought it was Gresham. I did not see him in the CBAs in the first quarter, but then it flipped, and Blake Akers was actually the one missing out. So when Jack Steele comes back in 1 or 2 weeks, it's going to be really interesting to see how that midfield dynamic's going to set up, because Luke Dunstan was in there. Do they throw him out? Do they throw Akers out? Is it going to be Ross, Hanbury, and... Steel, it's just going to be one big clusterfuck. And I, for one, if you're a Seb Ross owner, he's had a couple of really good scores the last couple of weeks, and I'd probably be looking to flip him because the Saints are going nowhere fast, and you might be able to get something for him. And Rowan Marshall, this kid is an absolute star. Took it up to Steph Martin and Oscar McInerney. He is averaging 96 AFL Fantasy and 104 Supercoach. My question is, where is he going to go next year as a ruckman when he loses his forward status? Do you think he'll be a top five ruckman, or do you think he'll be a nice value late ruck pickup?
I don't know. It's a good question, Jono.
It is.
No, I reckon maybe he's just going to be one of those guys who everyone you know, people are hot on. Like, it's hard not to be hot on him.
Yeah, I can see him probably going a bit too early next year, but again, I'll wait for next year.
Well, do you think at this rate, coming into next year, taking into account improvement, is it Grundy, Gawn, those are the two top, whatever way you put them in the Supercoach and Fantasy, is he third? Is he close to third now?
Oh, I still have, I probably have Witts up there. He's been pretty solid this year.
Massive. Does he go before Goldie?
That's going to be
go the... before Goldie.
Oh yeah, ooh. Surely.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Probably in AFL Fantasy. In Supercoach, I'm more interested because it's the real form of the game. But
Goldie's going to be what, 33 next year. It's an interesting one. I'd probably take. I like the upside of Marshall, so I'd probably go Marshall.
Your Steph Martin buy low worked pretty nice dividends this week, though. 119 Fantasy, 130 Supercoach, Steve, putting up pretty nice numbers. That's amazing that they both, him and the Big O, putting up nice numbers. Ton in Supercoach for the Big O and 90 Fantasy points. That's Oscar McInerney. So both the rucks putting up nice numbers, pretty rare form. Now, a few people were worried about what would happen to maybe a Gresham in the return of Dan Hand. Did you see any sort of signs of what was happening in that regard, Jono?
Yeah, as I said, at the first quarter, I didn't notice him too much in the middle there. It wasn't until the second quarter where he started to get a little bit more time in the middle. So I think there's going to be some heavy splits between him, Dunstan, Akers as well, so, and whoever else is going to throw through there. So I think he's going to be capped a little bit. But again, it's only 1 week and we're going to need a bit more time, especially with Jack Steele coming back as well.
Oh, yeah. Jack Steele. Throw that in there. My boy, Jack. Now, we've also should mention that Cam has
fucking
decided...
Fucking hell, boss. Honestly, mate, you've had more boys than George Pell.
Jesus.
City of Churches. He loves it. Loves the boys.
Far out. Anyway, Cam has chosen to... Jesus, I can't.
You lost you now.
Jack Nunes. We had a preseason bet, and Cam's doing his best Allen Iverson impression because he's going to be pay him out early. He's decided he's going to give me the money straight away after he dropped a 33 in AFL Fantasy, 28 in Supercoach. What's happening, Jono? Is he getting this weird role that he did last year that just turned his fantasy scores to pus?
Honestly, I didn't even notice him out there, to be honest. He just was not out on the park. I barely noticed him all day, and I wasn't really paying attention to see what he was playing. I was watching a few other players, like Charlie Cameron, who actually was fantastic. 5 goals, got a knee in the back, spent probably the entire second quarter on the pine, still knocked out 110 Supercoach and 90 in AFL Fantasy as well, so... Pretty solid effort from Charlie Cameron. But Nunes, who cares?
I'll just take that that carton there, Cam. Port Geelong, Steve.
Yeah, look, death, taxes, and Geelong off the bye. Port played really well. I thought it was impressive. Lysett solo rucking. And admittedly, it was a gravy matchup. I was seeing rucks go ham against the Cats this year. And no doubt Lysett went fucking kaboom with a massive 180 burger in Supercoach, 130 in Dream Team, if you don't mind. 18 contested possessions, 9 clearances. Jesus Christ. And they absolutely smashed the Cats at the coalface. So, very interesting. One thing, I haven't seen a heap of Geelong matches this year. I tend to give them to Cam on the rundown. But one player who's been piss poor this year, who I actually thought played a handy role, was Zach Tui. He turned up in the Dream Team format, 96 in Supercoach. He's floating around a lot of waiver wires, and maybe it was just the fact that Port Adelaide were really controlling this match that he scored well as a defender, but if he was there, I'd pick him up. Like, I thought he looked fine. So maybe the bye, maybe he's found some form. We know he had a long layoff heading into the season when he returned from injury. And I wrote Dan Houston up as a sell in a dozen deals this week, and I'll just take the big fat L on that one. Because they went and dropped Sam Pepper instead and just kept Dan Houston in the middle. And he was awesome, played on Tim Kelly and really did a number. Well, maybe not do a number, but he had 26 touches. Got 89 Dream Team, 110 Super Coach, and really kept Tim Kelly to one of his poorer games of the season. So I will take a big fat L on that one. They do have Rocky coming back soon as well, but I mean, it's pretty hard to displace the guy. He played fantastic, I thought. So interesting to see there. We'll say Carl Amon. Over the last five matches, he's averaging 88 Dream Team and 91 Super Coach. So if you're looking, like, he's only got the midfield status, so it's a little bit hard to play him, but, you know, you could do worse. And I will say Connor Rosie is quite impressive and should be a Super Coach stud for years and years.
Is that he's a weapon, Steve? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Translates to weapon, I think. Houston did look impressive, and not just on the tagging side of thing. I think he actually does some stuff going the other way as well. Like, he's quite adept at sort of breaking through stoppages. So it's interesting, going to be interesting to see. Ken Hinckley has said that Rocky is now going to come back through the sandful as well. So pretty interesting stuff. Port, we might see next week because Ryder and Westhoff didn't actually, well, they weren't able to play in the sample this week because there was no game. They've got a split round. So we might even see next week they roll with the same, and it's going to be Rockcliffe, Westhoff and Ryder playing sample next week.
I'd just be cagey if I was a Rocky owner. That's all I'd say.
Cagey, like, you know what way? I mean, like, in terms of what you're going to return from the rest of the year now? Or
yeah, like, I mean, like, what do you do? Do you move guys out who are playing well? Like, they just had, what, their best win of the year?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've seen them, like, look what they did to Rockcliffe last year.
Yeah.
Like, well, just sort of saying, be aware.
I'll tell you.
I'm not saying go trade because you have to.
I've been floating him around in a keeper, and I can tell you, not many bites out there for Rocky. One of the former favourite fantasy stars. There's not many bites. And he's from a man that has had not a disappointing season. I think just injury riddled once again.
But that's Rocky. That's Rocky, man. I know. Like, he's... your best ability is your availability, Doss.
Mm. Listeners in that listener league keeper, swing me an offer. Sweeten the deal. Help me out. All right. Was that all you noticed from that one there, Steve?
A lot of booing from the Port fans.
Yeah.
I mean, good for them. Why not? Have a boo.
Fair enough. Like you said, it was the Stevie Motlop revenge game as well, getting the W over the old squad. All right, we'll move on to the final game of the round, and that was the Doggies versus the Pies. Jono, what did you say there?
It was actually a pretty straightforward game. Bevo, our coach, just yet again, and played the forwards as a forwards, the mids as a mids, and defenders as a defender. So it was pretty straightforward. The Doggies won just about every single stat line except for the bloody scoreboard, which they should have because they can't kick for shit. So, well done to the Pies. And there wasn't much to take out of this game. I mean, Ed Richards looked pretty solid out on that wing position, had pace to burn there. Lockie Hunter was playing in the guts a fair bit today. Lipinski, still pretty good. And, yeah, pretty much it. Braden Sy was pretty ordinary. Gave away a fair few free kicks. Didn't get much of the ball. Darcy Moore got a haircut. That's about it.
Jono, I've got a question for you on Scott Pendlebury. Yep. Since Sy's been in, piss poor amount of contested possessions. Is this killing Pendles?
Yes, because Pendles wasn't... I don't have the CBAs, but I did not notice him at as many CBAs than you normally would think. It was Treloar, Sire, and even Sidebottom. They were the three main guys that I was noticing today.
With Adams possibly back, I know Cam thinks his groin's held together with staples. Should you trade Pendles now?
Be a great target to buy because he's got value, and you're going to get something for him, definitely. It'd be a great sell target. Great sell.
Interesting.
But don't try and sell him to me because I know how your magic works.
Magic.
Oh, take Prestia for Redden. Yes, I know what West Coast bloody run home is, mate.
Oh, no, that wasn't... I didn't even see West Coast's run home. It was just because of... It was because of Lambert coming back.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know the West Coast thing.
We will mention as well a return to form the last two games of Jacko Mack. And of course, it sort of coincided with Libber going down last week. He dropped a huge 180 in fantasy and 148 in Supercoach. Jono, has Libber going down, just, I think you mentioned pre-show that the CBAs were just all to do with the three major mids and they're just letting Jacko Mack run wild in there.
Yeah, it was the big three for most of the game, McRae, Bont, and Dunkley. Normally, Dunkley does rest forward and maybe kick a goal or two. Probably spent maybe 10 minutes down there throughout the game. Bont was in the middle the whole time. It was just, if you guys own these guys, you'll be really happy because they're not moving out of the middle anytime soon unless Luke Beveridge forgets to take his drugs yet again. But those who got on Lipinski a couple of weeks ago when mentioned, two games over 100 now in a row up against Port Adelaide next week. So he's been starring since coming into that team.
And not even playing an inside mid role. It's more of an out. Is it a wing role that he's playing? And he's just carving up.
It's just a bit of a floating role. He just runs wherever the hell he likes, just up and down the 250 arcs, really, just helping out wherever he can.
We should probably mention who wasn't in this game. Yeah, come on. We should probably mention who actually wasn't in this game as well, with Toby McLean last week getting dropped. Now, what the hell do you do there in a keeper league? Do you wait and see for the remainder of this year? Because, I mean, Bevo has just killed him not playing mid. It doesn't look like he's going to get back in there. They've got a lot more guys that are coming through, the big body that they're preferring to run through there. Toby McLean, you know, I don't know what his contract's like left at the Dogs, but if he's still there, it's probably worrying signs going forward.
Well, he didn't play VFL this week. He was an emergency, and we actually saw it last year with Josh Dunkley. He got sent down to the Magoos for about 4 weeks and came back and just played pure guts after the bye rounds basically last year and dominated. So maybe it's a bit of a wake-up call for McLean. I don't know. He could be not doing something team structure-wise. He still might be carrying that shoulder injury. We don't know. So, hey, throw out a low offer. You're probably going to get something for him because he has been pretty putrid just playing in that forward 50 role this year.
It's so hard to do as well. I mean, I remember seeing an article pre-season saying he has just been told essentially that now he's going to be focusing on forward. He's going to be playing forward. So I wouldn't get my hopes up for a forward, you know, a future midfield role coming anytime soon. They've just got so many guys that they want to run through there. Unless something, you know, shines from Bevo, I don't think we're going to see that, especially while Libba's just signed a new contract extension. It's probably worrying signs.
Yeah, injury is the only way he's going to get into that midfield, you'd think.
Unfortunate. All right, we've still got waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, and Captain Risky to come, as well as listener questions a bit later on. But first, checking in on iTunes, and we have a new review this week, Jono.
Yeah, we do. Up to 207 ratings. This is from George Columbaris. He says, this is better than meditation. You always put me to sleep every night. Best podcast ever. Heart emoji, blow a kiss emoji. So, George, I don't know if you've been punching soccer fans yet again, but thanks very much for the review.
Yes, and sleep very well, George. I think later on in the question segment, we might have a few ideas for what we're going to make Jono potentially do for the next ratings goal, which we might set, I don't know, 250 or 300 or something. We'll figure that out later on. But on to our waiver wire pickups for the week. Still using the under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. And if you're in shallower leagues, there's probably going to be better options than the ones we're throwing out there. But just remember as well to keep checking who people are dropping, just in case you can snap someone up. Like Steve said before, it could be someone like a Zach Tui who may be starting to get into his own now. You might be able to just pick them up. All right, so who are your pickups this week, Steve?
Me? So I've got, disgusting to say, but Ryan Clark is actually at the top of the list.
DOS, yeah, nice.
Put that chub away. He's only owned in 42% of leagues. This is a defender midfielder. Two okay scores. The reason being, they're playing the Suns, and outside mids rake against the Suns. So don't mind that matchup. Midfield, Carl Amon, as we mentioned before, 60% owned. tough being just a midfielder, but look, he's playing good footy and scoring pretty well. So if you're in a bit of a pickle with your midfields, he's a possible option. A couple of forwards. JJK, shockingly, only 57% ownership. Look, he's got, as we mentioned, West Coast have got a lot of great matchups going forward. And he did kick 3 goals, 5. So that's a hell of a lot of shots on goals. Like, if he put, you know, 5 goals, 3, that's close to a ton in both formats. So certainly don't mind a bit of JJK if he can run into a bit of form. Brandon Matera, as I mentioned before, played really well this week against Carlton. Don't mind that as an option. Defender Luke McDonald, 31% owned, playing against the Pies. This was a guy we were talking about as a top 15 defender 2 years ago. Yikes. But it's a great matchup and, you know, 31% ownership. What can you say? Listed as a defender. And look, boys, I saved the best for last. He's 29% owned. He had 16 marks, 33 touches in the VFL. Jeremy Howe's possibly dead. Tom Langdon's on a Mars colony. The Shaz Goat.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Love it. Awesome. Matt Scharenberg, possibly in next week. You reckon it'll happen?
It'll happen.
Fucking has to, doesn't it? 33 touches. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I know it's been a long layoff, so I don't know.
Oh, it'd be great to see him back out there anyway. Jono, who have you got this week?
Yeah, pretty similar there. Just a few to add. Sam Reed, 61% versus the Gold Coast, 10 to leak goals. Charlie Cameron, 52% ownership. The Demons, they do not defend small forwards very well, as we saw Brandon Matera and Michael Walters on the weekend. Ed Richards, 12%, playing on the wing against Port Adelaide, which I don't mind. And we do know defenders against the Hawks is a sure bet. So if you don't have... Well, McGovern's missing this week, so I'm looking at Liam Duggan at 58%. And I did have the Sharon Goat, but also, Steve, one of my boys returned to the VFL this week. Probably won't be in for a while. Had the 10 possessions.
10 touches.
And 6 marks from a half a football. That is the one and only Grant Birchall. So keep an eye out for him. Probably in 1% of teams, but hey, he's out there.
Pick up in a keeper, definitely. Alir's only 54% owned. Do you just pick him up in the hopes that he gets named as a ruck if you need a defender streamer for a week?
Oh, definitely. He was kind of scoring. He had a few games where he was scoring well enough to be played as a defender prior to that as well. I mean, he didn't actually put up nice numbers on the weekend, but before that, he was putting up, like, I picked him up off the wire before that. So
yeah, 92 against West Coast, 84 against Geelong. I'm not sure who they got next. Gold Coast. Oh,
Gold Coast.
Yeah, get around it. I don't know if you guys mentioned Stephen May as well. He's only 56% owned. You know, not massive numbers, but he does have not too bad a schedule. Brisbane, Carlton, Western Bulldogs coming up. So, and then following West Coast, Saints and Richmond. So I don't mind that schedule coming up for Stephen May. If he can string together a few matches, you might be seeing some 80 pluses coming out of him soon. The other one I don't mind. I mean, this would be a flyer, probably not that interested, but if you said he had an okay role on the weekend, you could take a flyer on Ed Richards if the Doggies continue their upward trend of scoring. I mean, he put up the 85 AFL fantasy. I wouldn't hold your breath on that one though. That's a very speculative ad. And you know, just a shout out, I wouldn't say go do it, but Mason Redmond, what a score. I mean, if they keep the hard tag on the runners in the back line, then watch out. Mason Redmond. Oh,
well, they're playing GWS this week. And,
nah, that's all right. Don't worry
no
about
DeBoer.
It. Just, yeah, wow. No taggers, but yeah. Oh, well, I still like it. We'll get on to our trade of the week this week, and that is going to be from Steve. Who do you reckon we should be going out and trading for this week?
I think it's really, really obvious. Even you'd be able to pick it, Doss. I'm talking defender.
Redmond?
James, no, he has to be owned to trade for him, actually. James Sicily, I think it's one of the easier moves to try and make. Certainly be offering, you know, a lesser defender or a midfielder who's not quite at that elite level and hope he plays defense for the rest of the year. He would be my number one target.
Yeah, fantastic decision. People are really panicking at the moment. Best time to jump on and try and ask for a trade. Captain Risky. Jono, who have you got for this week?
I mentioned him earlier before. It's Rowan Marshall up against the Tigers, depending if they bring back their athletic rucks, who was at Soldo back this week. Only played him once for a 68 Supercoach, 88 AFL Fantasy, but we know Ruckman against the Tigers is pretty much a sure thing. So I'll be rolling out Rowan Marshall's Captain Risky against the Tigers this week.
Alrighty, well, if you want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctor's website to find the Statesman Skippers article. So he's been popping them out. Chucked one out a bit earlier last week as well, Steve. So chucked it on the site, and he gives us an option for every single game of the week, a gun option, and one of those captain risky options for every single matchups. So you can check out those on the Draft Doctor's website. You can also find Cam's injury report. So we haven't talked a heap about injuries in this podcast, but Cam covers everything you need to know on that on the website. We've also got a dozen deals. Now, is that still by you at the moment, Steve, or are we back to Sammy Porter the GOAT?
No, the last one was by me, but the next one will be by Sam. I didn't even get to 12 last week. Just piss poor. Statesman. What's Statesman's article coming out on a Wednesday? Just put me on tilt for the rest of the week. Like, I sat, like John Ortega, I was just on tilt all fucking Thursday, lost my marbles, dropped half my roster so I could get the W in my fantasy league this week. Thank Christ it somehow paid off. I snuck home over the line thanks to captaining Jack McRae. My team's fucked if I don't get these guys back. I tried the old dipsy doodle, which you can do on Supercoach. We'll see if that one works.
One of them back.
Oh, which one's
away? We'll see. Oh, you get one of them.
I can't change it. I can't change it.
You can change your waiver.
Not now.
Yeah, you can.
Hey?
Have you
not now.
Anyway.
Oh, they're already in. The waiver's already in. No, also, no, shut up, Doss. They're already in. What did you go for?
Prestia.
Oh, that's all right. You can have him. I don't need him.
Yes,
I need Cruiser. I need Cruiser.
Actually, then I'll change my positioning because Cruiser's my number two.
No, you can do that. Wait, am I in front of you or behind you?
You're in front of me, so you get one.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, I need Cruiser. That's fine.
No, you can have Cruiser. I've got Witsy. That's fine.
Yeah.
You done? Okay, yep. You can also
get Doss. Who was the show?
You can also get Jono's late
down
pickups.
Glove boy.
Oh, Jono's late week pickups.
Maybe have a steak, Doss. That way you won't need gloves.
Also on the draft. I don't even have gloves on. I couldn't find them, okay? That's probably why I'm a bit antsy. I'm too cold. Also, get your merch on the Draft Doctors. We haven't plugged that in a while. Get your early Christmas present. Get your Goterini t-shirt on the Draft Doctors website. All right, let's get on to some questions from social media. And we've got a few floating in on the Draft Doctors. Twitter handle is at The Draft Doctors. Pretty simple. We'll go with the first question from We Got Big Cox. He says, what the fuck happened to Gaff's CBAs this week? Also, great work for tweeting those numbers out. Now, what did happen to Gaff's CBA? I don't even know if he's been taking a whole heap of CBAs. I don't know if we haven't done enough to really realize what the differences are. We've only done them for a couple of weeks, but has Gaff been traditionally taking a lot of CBAs? We've saw Elliot Yeo came back this week, so obviously that would have taken a lot of the numbers.
Yeah, look, that's the... Well, I mean, we've only been tweeting for a couple of weeks, but yeah, Gaff took some the week before, but yeah, Yeo's back. I mean, they got... And Sheed's been still in there as well, as far as I'm aware.
Sheed,
Gaff's a wingman. Yeah. Gaff's a wingman. Like.
Yeah, I mean, Gaff only just took a three. I think he just took... Yeah, just playing wing. So probably not too much to worry about there. I mean, he did just get a little bit of attention on the outside, which just reduced his uncontested numbers, which he's all about. Who suffered the most from Hannah's return, asks Mitch Bagley. Was it Dunstan?
No, I think we answered that before. It was Akers, Gresham, Dunstan a little bit. But again, we're going to have to wait and see until Steele comes back on that one, if you ask me.
Yeah. All right, this one comes as well. Oh, we've got another Hanbury question. Only one game's worth of evidence, but would like you guys to spend a few minutes on Dan Han and collective thoughts going forward. What do we think of Dan Hanbury just in terms of seasonal-based? It was an impressive game, though, wasn't it, from the limited time on ground point of view, Jono?
Yeah, it was. The Saints guys look to give him the ball because he can use the ball. Like, just his kicks inside 50 were hitting targets normally than the kicks that go out on the full or to opposition players. So he does straighten them up a little bit. So they're going to look to use him at every opportunity. But again, if he's doing too well, does a tag come his way and just shut him right out of the game? So it's going to be an interesting dynamic going forward with Dan Hand and the Saints.
I was kind of...
Can I just say something? Like, it's actually interesting that first up, his kick-to-handball ratio is in the positive for the kicks, because it's been in the negatives basically his entire career.
Well, he was starting behind the ball, so basically from defensive 50, that's where he was getting his possessions and running forward. So I would hope there's more kicks to handballs.
I was a little bit interested in the fact you kind of said with Seb Ross you were looking to sell him, because I think it was last week or the week before, one of you mentioned that maybe Dan Hand's influence in there actually helped Seb Ross. And I was wondering, is it a good time to sell Seb Ross, or is maybe this just an upward trend for Seb? He's had a couple of good games, some centre bounce attendances. Does Dan Hand maybe actually help Seb Ross's production?
Well, Jack Steele goes the other way, so he wasn't getting the tackles, wasn't getting the marks at that CBA, so it was all just loose ball gets, essentially, so he wasn't getting as much contested stuff, Sebby Ross, when Jack Steele was inside that midfield.
I will talk to Jono about buying Seb Ross.
Yeah.
I'm the other way. And it's more, and like, you know, I don't want to give all my whys and hows away, but it's because their defense is coming back. Like, they should be a better defense. Like, they should be able to transition the ball more. They should, if there's better quality in there, like, he should be able to rack up some plus sixes.
He is a little bit more confident.
Yeah. I'm a little bit more confident. I don't know. Like, you know, it's probably a deal between us. I think we've done like one ever. So it's like.
And I won that massively. Oh, actually, Harley Bunnell fucked himself.
Oh, yeah. That was fucked. That was so bad.
I mean,
that was the morning. It's just going to be one of those ones you hash out league to league. Probably hard having he's had a couple good games, but I'm certainly not paying, you know.
Overs.
It'll probably be around that cost. I'll put it that way.
We might see Seb Ross be the new back half of the year guy, because that would be 2 years in a row if he does it this year again, where he's just gone ham in the second half of the season. Anyway, Russ asks, will Sire have much job security next year? I'm thinking once Beams is fit, it'll be back to the VFL.
Yeah, that and Taylor Adams coming in too can't be great.
I reckon he'll be right. I think he'll be right. You got to remember, Beams and Pendles are actually starting to get a little bit long in the tooth. I think he'll be right, but he'll just be crushed by time on ground. He's only got one role. The others are all more flexible. I mean, Taylor Adams probably isn't, but they try to be.
So he's still a few years off being kind of that reliable inside mid that we can sort of play every week.
I question if he ever will be.
Hmm. I think he's too talented not to be, though.
You can't score if you're on the pine, though, Doss. That's all I'm saying.
I know. That's why it kind of frustrated me when he came out saying, you know, he's very, very committed to staying at Collingwood recently. I was like, damn it. I want him to head somewhere where he can really sort of flourish in a midfield.
Well, I think he's a good buy, because you're seeing these guys are 2 or 3 years away. You buy now. I mean, he's going to be playing, but I always kind of look at the departures as the way to build your team, you know, in terms of trade targets. And they've clearly got some guys who, you know, Father Time's undefeated, Doss.
Certainly. Matt Clark asks, he's asking a sort of matchup play here. Does he start Lipinski versus Port or Mundy versus the Blues? And he also wants to know, should he be worried about big boy McAvoy, who put up some turd numbers on the weekend, even just against Cal Sinclair and before he got the KO?
Lipinski's been in pretty good form. Can't see why he wouldn't roll him out against Port Adelaide. Port have been fine to match up against. They don't negate you in any way, shape or form. So I'm not too worried there. And big boy. Yeah, look, they're playing West Coast. I don't know if Nick Nack back this week. It's going to be a wait and see, but should be able to destroy Vardy, so, or Hickey.
He had nothing besides the hit outs and 6 handballs. Like, that's so unusual for
small ground at the SCG.
Big boy.
Don't need him.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you not play him?
Yeah, got to play big boy.
Would that be what you love to call variance, Steve? Would that just be a bit of a once-off?
That's pretty. What's an outlier?
Hmm.
It's an outlier, DOS. It's not variance, my friends.
I'm sorry. Terminology is a little bit off. We'll get to the final question here. Oh, there's a couple more, actually. Value of the sandwich ham, in brackets, Devon. That's Devon Smith, people. In a keeper league. What's his value in a keeper league?
Less than it was at the start of the year.
I guess it's talking about if you're looking maybe to buy or sell. I mean, what would you be able to get for him? People just, it's just so hard with injuries to be able to find a buyer unless there's someone just absolutely down and out in the keeper that wants to rebuild the list. And that's probably where you're going to have to be looking, right?
I think the problem is that they've brought in Dylan Scheel from last year. His scores were down. Like, he was never going to back-to-back the tackle record. So his scores were going to come down. They've got developing young guys. Like, he should be fine, but I think if you're the seller, you're probably going to want something close to what you're looking for at the start of the season, and you're just not going to get it. So I don't know what his value. I mean, its value is variant league to league, but I don't know. F2, F3? Probably F3. He's probably on the money because he's injured. He's an injury-prone player.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got two suggestions in amongst this of what Jono should be doing as punishment / reward for the next rating / reviews bet. So, couple here. We got Big Cock suggests punishment should be going to the next Doggies versus Cats game in a Geelong number 3 Partiff jumper. What are your thoughts there, Jono?
Love it. If it's down at GMHBA Stadium, I'm there because I've never been to the ground and there's some good breweries down Geelong way that I'm keen to check out. So bring it on.
And take your spicy corn chips with you as well, Jono.
Damn straight. I'll just rub them in those salty Geelong faces when they lose.
Stuart on Facebook also suggests a bit of a dance routine. So maybe the corn chips, bit of a dance routine and a Brandon Parfitt.
Anyone knows me, I can't dance for shit, and if it is a dance routine, it's only one, and that's Napoleon Dynamite style.
Well, that probably is the most tempting one we've had yet. So maybe continue chucking those on. Our Twitter handle is @thedraftdoctors if you want to leave some more suggestions of what we could get Jono doing. So I reckon that's the show, guys. We got any final notes? It's good to be back getting the some more matchups next week. I mean, I've had a few leagues that have kept going, and I definitely prefer continuing through the buys. I like that sort of just grit and grind of getting through them. I do kind of respect that. So, but it's going to be good having full matchups next week again.
So dirty. Oh, if Ugly Tom didn't do his calf in that warm-up, would have gone 3-0, and I'm fucking filthy about it.
Westhoff and Toby McLean didn't get dropped, I still probably would have lost.
You got Westhoff and McLean. That's rough.
He waved it for him.
I was only using McLean through the buy rounds, but Westhoff, someone dropped him when I picked him up. So,
can we touch on Westhoff really quickly before we leave? Because we've had him as a buy low for about a month. And I mean, is it still a buy low for the Hoff?
Buy even lower.
Buy even lower? I mean, I'd be tempted. Nah, Charlie D.
The problem is, like, you got to be aware that he's not going to come in this week.
Yeah.
You got to be okay with that. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough, man. It's tough.
It is tough. All right.
I'd be tempted to throw something out really low. But Jono has him in our home league, and I'm not buying anything off that prick. Hey, how many reviews do we have? How many reviews do we have now? Can we just make it one more to get Jono to dance? Because I know the people have seen many photos of Jono, but that is a man who looks like he can't dance.
I used to do...
Oh, no, he's not coming.
I used to do ballroom dancing when I was a kid. Like, no.
Oh, there we go. Jono ballroom dancing.
One guy, 15 chicks. Bang, bang.
And that's the Draft Doctors show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.